Good morning. It's 11 o'clock, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Vanessa Brown with Vicky Gray and John Spratt. In the weather, it's currently 3 degrees. It's gloomy and raining outside our East York studios. And here are the headlines. Lawyers wrapped up their closing arguments in the murder trial of slain teenager Jordan Manners. The Leafs are on a 5-game winning streak as they take on the Panthers tonight, and consumers might have to pay more for cable. And now to our top story. The jury could begin deliberations today in the murder trial of two teenaged men who allegedly killed Jordan Manners. The men, known only as J.W. and C.D., cannot be identified because they were 17 at the time of Manners' murder in 2007. They are now 20. J.W. and C.D. are pleading not guilty in youth court to first-degree murder. It is alleged that J.W. dragged Manners down the stairs of their school and shot him in the chest. A Toronto man who assaulted a meter maid will be in court this morning. Panagiotis Maris turned himself in to police last night, confessing to the attack. On Sunday, Maris was none too pleased to find a yellow parking ticket on his windshield in Greektown. According to the Star, instead of facing the music, Maris caught up with the officer and punched him in the head, knocking him to the ground. He faces two charges of assault and dangerous operation of a motor vehicle. Supporters cheered and protesters jeered as Councillor Adam Jambroni announced his mayoral bid earlier this evening. Tara Lozinski reports.
Protesters could be heard outside as Jambroni launched his campaign. One protester who didn't want to give her name had the following message for Jambroni.
I'm asking Adam, I couldn't even buy my daughter a Christmas present, and I'm listening to how he cares about communities and friends, and he is just so full of them.
Protesters say construction on Lawson's Mills Avenue is crippling their small businesses and causing personal financial strain. As the protests continued outside, inside Revival Lounge on College Street, supporters listened to the councillor's platform. Jambroni admitted to not having all the answers, but being committed to listening to his constituents.
And I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers, but I'm committed to finding the solutions. I have ideas, and I want to share them. You have ideas too, and I intend to listen to them. I will not be tied to the old ways of doing things just because we've always done them that way. I will not be afraid to do things differently in order to build the Toronto of tomorrow. And as your mayor, I will listen as I lead.
The mayor, a two-term councillor, told Toronto why he's running for mayor. Tara Lozinski, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Bloc Québécois leader Gilles Duceppe is still waiting for his apology. Conservatives are accusing him of comparing Canada to Nazi Germany in his speech over the weekend. In it, he mentioned Quebec independence would only come through resisting the federal government. Conservatives quickly jumped to link his speech to the French resistance against Nazi Germany. Duceppe said his words were taken out of context. Well, it took him over a year, but U.S. President Barack Obama will sign health care into law this morning. The House of Representatives voted to pass the controversial plan late Sunday night. White House advisor David Axelrod said Obama has never been happier. This bill is expected to cause bitter debate between Democrats and Republicans. Global News reported that universal health care is the most sweeping U.S. social policy change in decades. 8 primary students were stabbed to death this morning when they arrived at school. Xinhua News reported that the attacker is Zhen Mingshen, a former doctor with a history of mental health problems. According to Xinhua, Zheng waited for the kids at the entrance of the school, then unleashed terror. 5 other students are said to be in stable condition. No motive was given for the grisly attacks. And that's the latest news. Now here's Vicky with sports.
Thanks, Vanessa, and hi, everyone. Did you think the Leafs were a lost cause after this season's losing streak? The beloved Toronto team has gained confidence and hope in their fight to improve their last place standing. The Leafs are on a 5-game winning streak with 3 games won in the shootout and 2 in overtime. This breaks their previous 9-game overtime losing streak. Tonight, the Leafs play the Florida Panthers, a team 5 points higher in the standing. 3 other teams, including Tampa Bay Lightning, the New York Islanders, and the Carolina Hurricanes, are 4 points ahead. If they win, it's possible that the Leafs could rise as high as 11th place in the conference standings. If the Leafs manage to gain 11th place, the Boston Bruins will not have a chance for first or second draft picks in June. Speaking of losing streaks, the Ottawa Senators ended their 5-game losing streak last night with a 2-0 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Peter Raine and Erik Karlsson scored while Brian Elliott made 29 saves. With this win, the Senators leave Philadelphia behind and sit alone in the fifth place, two places ahead of the Habs and the Flyers. In other hockey news, the new headshot rule may be put in place until the end of the season. We just don't know when. The National Hockey League Players Association is putting forth what Jason Spezza calls a Band-Aid solution. Spezza is one of five players on the competition committee. The NHL proposed rule states that any blindside headshots will be given a major or minor penalty, and all headshots will be reviewed by the league's hockey operations department. The NHL is not trying to fast-track the headshot rule, just a part of it. The NHL wants to implement the automatic review of blindside headshots and suspend offending players, but the league is still waiting on approval from the Players Association. If you didn't get enough curling in the Olympics, Canadian Jennifer Jones is sliding some more your way. The Winnipeg curling team has won five straight games at the Women's World Curling Championship. Yesterday, Jones served up a 12-6 win over Aveta Staza Sarsun of the Latvian team and a 10-9 win over Wang Bingyang of China. A $25,000 donation from an Olympic sponsor has been given to Native Child and Family Services of Toronto. The money will help the group continue their work with youth and Scarborough Guildwood community. Observer Radio's Amanda Kwan reports.
A Royal Bank lion mascot holds up an oversized novelty check while the audience claps. Former National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Phil Fontaine, is now an advisor with RBC. He says programs like those offered by the Native Child and Family Services play an important role in fostering Aboriginal culture.
Scarborough has probably the largest concentration of Aboriginal people. We saw evidence of some of the good work. Clearly, Aboriginal culture is very important to the school.
RBC is a sponsor of the 2010 Olympic Games in Vancouver. However, some Aboriginal groups and activists argue the Winter Games are being held on stolen First Nations land. Protesters interrupted the torch run several times as it made its way across Canada. But Fontaine says the Olympics is an opportunity for First Nations communities to show the important role they've played in Canada's history.
It's much more than a sporting event, though it's a world sporting event. It's really a celebration of Indigenous cultures. And I see this as an opportunity to speak to the world about who we are here in our homeland.
The next Winter Olympics are in Russia in 2014. Amanda Kwan, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
In baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays manager Saito Gaston announced yesterday that Sean Markham will be Toronto's opening day starter. The right-hander is taking the place of Roy Holiday, who opened for the Jays for 7 years. Markham says he won't try to fill Holiday's shoes. Instead, he will be leading the Jays' rotation with his own style. Markham, who was out last season recovering from Tommy John surgery, is one of two other players who have been chosen to start after missing the previous season. In basketball, the Toronto Raptors won against Minnesota Timberwolves last night, giving the Timberwolves their 13th straight loss. They won 106-100 with the help of Chris Bosh's 21 points and 10 rebounds. Bosh broke his own record with his 44th double-double of the season. The Raptors are now tied with Charlotte for 7th in the Eastern Conference. And that's all for sports. Stay with us because John will have entertainment news after the break.
Hey, Ron.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I'm your neighbor, next-door neighbor.
Yes?
I missed you when you moved in, I guess.
Really?
I wanted to explain about that shelf in your refrigerator.
The shelf? Oh, you mean the bottom shelf, the one with the whole case of Molson Golden. Boy, what a great surprise that was moving in.
It was my Molson Golden. My Molson Golden.
Your Molson Golden?
Yeah, I had an arrangement with the person who lived here before you.
Oh, yes?
I sort of rented one shelf in her fridge.
You don't have a refrigerator.
Yeah, I'm a photographer. Mine's full of film, and I needed some place to keep my Molson Golden.
Oh, I see.
Cool, clear, smooth. I'm sure you understand.
Oh, yes. I love it. It was terrific.
It was terrific.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean when you say, was?
Molson Golden, from North America's oldest brewer of beer and ale, the number one import from Canada, Molson makes it golden.
It really was a shame you missed the party.
I feel like I was there in spirit.
And welcome back, everybody. You won't like this story if you're a big TV fan. Private broadcasters in Canada will now be allowed to charge fees to the cable companies. The CRTC, which mandates broadcast policy in Canada, came out with their decision yesterday. Phil Lynn, the vice president of Rogers, warned that the end result? Probably a bigger cable bill. Broadcasters say that the decisions will help them remain stable in a tough market. The cable industry has been battling with the private broadcasters for years over the issue. New details have been released about Michael Jackson's final hours. According to an AP report, Dr. Conrad Murray stopped performing CPR on Jackson so he could hide vials and medicine bottles. The report also says that Dr. Murray delayed calling 911 so that he could clear the scene. Murray's lawyer, Ed Chernoff, denies the claims. Jackson's death in June was ruled a homicide by the LA coroner. Murray is charged with involuntary manslaughter. Also this morning, former boxing star Mike Tyson is set to star in a new reality TV show about, get this, pigeon racing. Only one problem. The animal rights group PETA doesn't like it. They sent a letter to the Brooklyn District Attorney asking for an investigation. Tyson has had a long love affair with pigeons, but is new to racing them. The show is scheduled to air in the U.S. on the Animal Planet cable channel. Animal Planet wasn't available to comment on the story. And locally, approximately 100,000 people took to the streets on Sunday to experience the 23rd annual Toronto St. Patrick's Day Parade. The parade route started at St. George Street, went east on Bloor to Yonge, south to Queen, and then west to University Avenue. It took place from 12 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. And as Observer Radio News' Eileen Donnelly reports, the parade keeps the Irish tradition alive in Toronto.
People of all ages lined the streets in a sea of green to experience a taste of Irish culture on Sunday. Almost 3,000 people took part in more than 50 parade attractions. There were brass and pipe bands and Irish dancers and leprechauns galore. Parade Society Chair Pat Canavan says the yearly event is vital.
When my own children and grandchildren are all out there helping on the parade, that means they're keeping the tradition alive. I would like to see in the next couple of years that those of us who are kind of the older ones who have been involved in parade, they actually turn it over to everybody in their 30s and younger.
Took part in Toronto's first St. Patrick's Day Parade in 1988 and has participated ever since. His daughter, Kathy Canavan, took part as an Irish dancer. Now she encourages other young dancers to take part and represent the school she co-founded.
We're involved in the parade just not only to support my dad, but to show how proud we are of our heritage, not only as Irish dancers, but just within the Irish community in general. It's a nice way to bring people together from all walks of life.
The 23rd annual St. Patrick's Day Parade was a great success, but there is plenty more Irish celebration to look forward to this Wednesday. Eileen Donnelly, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And that's your entertainment story for today. Let's send it back to Vanessa to wrap it up.
Thanks, John. And that's the news for now. You can hear more coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of us all here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.